Good morning, and thank you, Carol. That was beautiful. As you are able, would you please stand with me and do our call to worship as printed in the bulletin? How shall we prepare for the coming of the Lord?
With hearts filled with love and peace.
How shall we prepare for the coming of Christ? How shall we prepare for the coming of our Savior?
With songs filled with joy and hope.
How shall we prepare for the coming of God's Son?
With worship filled with passion and spirit.
And our opening hymn, to be sung with passion and spirit, is Angels from the Realms of Glory. It's number 220 in your hymnal, and we will be singing verses 1 through 3. The Advent candle this morning is being lit by the double I class. Oh, yes, you can be seated. I'm sorry.
The prophet Malachi calls us to watch for the messenger God will send us. A messenger who burns with passion for God's coming salvation. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Malachi 3:2-3.
In a world divided in passion to maintain the status quo, we choose to live with a passion for God's peace, to listen to those who call us to righteousness, and to submit ourselves to God's grace, that we might be refined and purified until we reflect God's love throughout the earth.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to passionately pursue the work of making peace in our hearts, our families, our communities, and throughout the earth until God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you, guys. Now we have our opening prayer. It is printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. God of our deliverance, you meet us in our need. You fill the valleys of our insecurities with hope and bring low the mountains of our pride and conceit. As we await your Son, the glory of your salvation, guide our feet in the ways of peace. Amen. Now we have the children's moments. If the kids can come up, that would be wonderful. Have it? Oh, we do have it. Okay, good. Let's see. Oh, we got a bunch of kids today. Yay! I love it. Okay, today we lit the peace candle because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in Advent, we are preparing our way for Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus has already come. In fact, we're going to celebrate his birthday at Christmas, right? Happy birthday, Jesus. But Jesus told us that when he came, he was going to bring us God's peace. Now, that's not the kind of peace where you put down your guns and your swords. It's a different kind of peace. It's a peace that is available to us when we open our hearts to God. And he is always with us and always ready to give us this peace. Now, I want you to look at your hands. You got two of them, right? Did you make those hands? No. God made those hands. God made those hands to work for him. And that's exactly what you're going to do this morning when you take these blue buckets around and ask people to put their coins in. So your hands are hands that are working for God and his peace. Now, wait a second. I've got some coins. Thank you. Okay, take a bucket. Give this young man a bucket right here. Thank you. Okay, guys. Gosh, you guys are doing a good job out there. Thank you. When you get done with the buckets, you can bring them up here, and we're going to say a prayer. Thank you. Stay here. You got one more finger? Okay. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us today, for giving us your peace, for bringing us here. Bless all of the families that are represented by these wonderful children, and give us your peace. In Jesus' peaceful name we pray. Amen. Now, since you were such good workers, we're going to let you get a treat. Our prayer hymn this morning is Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming, which is number 216 in the hymnal, and we're going to be singing verses 1 and 2.
As we go into our time of prayer, let's keep peace in our minds. Amazing God, we are grateful for you, for how you came to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. As we've already talked about this morning, we understand that your presence with us is our peace. It is up to us to understand that your presence is all around us, to walk into your presence, to open our minds and our hearts to you being there. So, Lord, there are those of us who struggle to find that space. It could be any kinds of distractions. It could just be our capacity to want to be responsible for things, wanting to get things done, whatever it may be, oh God. It could be ourselves being in the midst of trouble, being in the hospital, being just at home and not really knowing what is going on around us. Lord, help us all to find in any situation that we're in to walk in to be with you. So we think of this morning a couple of folks that are close to those in this congregation. We think of Sarah, who is Mike and Lynn's niece. Oh God, we just ask that you would be with her in this time of understanding a diagnosis. We also want you to be with Lisa Trent, oh God. She continues to struggle. Lord, there are others that are connected with us. I know there are. Lord, we just ask that you would be with them in order for them to be able to find that peace within them. We all need it, even if we don't think we do. So Lord, guide us in each and every moment to never walk without you, but to always walk with you in peace. Let us now turn to the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as those that call ourselves those of Jesus Christ, may we respond with generous hearts as we receive our offering today. Ushers, would you please wait? share together this prayer of dedication. Loving God, in this Advent season, we bring our offerings with hearts open to your call. Just as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, may our gifts help prepare the way for your kingdom. Use these offerings to bring hope and peace. Help us to look beyond the surface, to see your work in surprising places and people. Bless our giving, that it may shine with the presence of Emmanuel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading comes today from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. This is Jesus speaking. There will be signs in the moon, stars, sun. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So small, with no shelter or but a drafty storm. Yet he'd be known as the Lord of all, born beneath a star that night. Led by a star was a shepherd boy, after angels told him of wondrous joy. Sent out to earth as a baby boy, born beneath the star that night. And all of the earth had the news of the Christ child's birth, and hoped it about that through him peace would be found. Shelter or but a drafty stall, yet he'd be known as the Lord of all, born beneath a star that night. Led by the star were the wise men three, traveling miles and miles, the young child.
Thank you guys for sharing that. Well, last week we did begin the countdown to Christmas with the beginning of Advent. It is important to know that Advent isn't just about anticipating the remembrance of the birth of Jesus and the joy that this celebration brings to us. Because Advent is set aside as a time for us to look forward to Jesus returning and ushering in the new age. The age where God's redeeming work is fulfilled and all of Christ's brothers and sisters come home with Jesus to the full presence of God. Until the new age, we wait with anticipation. And since Christmas in our culture creates this atmosphere of expectation, it is a perfect time for Christians to put everything in perspective. Over the next couple of weeks, we will walk through Advent with the sermon series entitled Come Home for Christmas. Coming home for Christmas requires preparation, stirs up joy, and hopefully generates a sense of blessing. We'll look at each of these things on our way to Christmas, but again, our focus will be on our home that awaits in the fullness of God's presence. So shall we begin our journey home? Well, every year we know Christmas Day is coming. But we always ask, how is it time already? The second week of Advent, we are reminded to expect it to be time for our homecoming with Jesus and to not be surprised that the time could be now. You see, if we have it in mind that it's time to go home, we'll be ready for it. So what does living like it is time to go home with Christ look like? Before we get there, for me, going home for Christmas has always meant being with my mom's family. For the majority of my life, our gatherings have been at my mom's house. Now, in my early childhood years, I remember going to grandma's house, my mom's mom. But by the time I was a teenager, it all moved to our house. Most likely because my mom was the oldest daughter in her family. But if you know my mom, if you knew my mom, then you would also know she loved to serve her family, especially in her home. However, now that she is in her 80s, the next generation, which is my generation, has agreed to take over hosting for the holidays, even if we still might meet at Mom's house. So we'll see how that goes this year. Over the years, the distance we have traveled to come home has changed. As you know, the furthest for us was when we lived in Iowa. But regardless if it was Iowa or just down the street, before we actually came home for Christmas, there were certain things that told us that the time had come for us to go. Things like the shopping was done, the packages were wrapped, the potluck dish was prepared, the electric bill for the Christmas tree lights were due, and add your own other things that make you know it was time. What is also true that coming home with Jesus in the new age is also preceded by some things that the whole family of God should be familiar with that tells us it is time to go. Before Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane by the Jewish leaders, he shared this. He said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Now, these words from Jesus have been so overanalyzed, in my opinion, because we are a people who want to know everything. We want the details. We don't like the unknown. But if I ask, if we knew the specifics, would we be able to handle it? Probably not. The reality is we live in the time between when Jesus ascended to heaven and when he returns. In this between time, we have already witnessed many environmental, cosmic and socio-political changes and tragedies. These global changes and the instability and unpredictability of human responses are a confirmation that our hope is only in God and in God's plan to redeem all of creation. The end game is Jesus returning to complete the work of redemption. And at some point, it will be utterly obvious to the whole world that Jesus, in his full glory, is making things new. Until then, there's no need to be caught up in the specifics of the end times, thinking every hurricane, war, or meteor shower is the sign the end is near. Just know that there will be a new age, and everyone without hope and an eternal home and future will be tossed around like a canoe in an ocean storm. However, for those who live like it is time to go home, we will weather the storm in faith and not fear. Jesus said, "Look up and stand up." Our strength to weather the storm doesn't come from ourselves. We are to go to the source and stand in the strength of the Lord. And also to set our eyes on hope. Jesus told his disciples this parable about a fig tree losing its leaves in the winter season and sprouting again in the spring. He was encouraging us to look upon the signs of his coming with the same hope we see in the new season of promise of not only leaves on the trees, the fruit of the harvest. See, where there is faith, there is hope in the kingdom of God. There is something else we need to understand about faith. Faith is something that develops and matures. In order for faith to grow into something that weathers any storm, it must be nourished. If we don't, faith fades. And so does our strength and our hope. So Jesus warned, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth." I think we all would agree that we are in the midst of the storm. The question is, are we standing up? Or are we being weighed down? I looked up the definition of carousing to see more clearly what Jesus was getting at. And basically, carousing means indulging in one's own desires excessively. Jesus was warning us to be careful in how we respond to the reality that the world we know will get worse before all is made new. If we are not careful, watching the world fall to natural disasters and human dysfunction will bring about responses of fear and bewilderment, which often leads to escapism behaviors to numb our senses. We see this truth every day, and we see the toll these destructive behaviors take on people's lives. But when faith takes the lead, and Jesus' life and teaching with the Holy Spirit's guidance and the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ is our priority, our hearts are shielded from being weighed down. Living like it is time to go home, while we wait, we walk in the way of discipleship. Now, discipleship is a churchy word that simply means the practice of following Jesus to become more like Him. And the one thing I want us to notice about Jesus and His disciples is that they were always meeting together to learn and to respond faithfully to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Their commitment to one another and to the mission to share the good news of the kingdom and making disciples is our example. They grew in their faith together. A few weeks ago, Suzanne and I attended Bishop Jung's Day of Unity event in Columbus, and our dear friend, Reverend Dr. Paul Chilcote, was the keynote speaker for the day to encourage both the East and West Ohio conferences to reclaim the Wesleyan spirit that launched the Methodist movement over 250 years ago. Dr. Chilcote shared a quote from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, that spoke to his motivation for his leading the church in a more intentional way of discipleship. Here is what Paul Chilcote shared about the Anglican church in the 18th century, of what John Wesley said about that church. Who marked their growth in grace? Who advised and exhorted them from time to time? Who prayed with them and for them as they had need? This and this alone is Christian fellowship. But alas, where is it to be found? Look east or west, north or south, name what parish you please. Is this Christian fellowship there? Rather, are not the bulk of the parishioners a mere rope of sand? What Christian connection is there between them? What intercourse in spiritual things? What watching over each other's souls? What bearing of one another's burdens? We introduced Christian fellowship where it was utterly destroyed, and the fruits of it have been peace, joy, love, and zeal for every good word and work. John Wesley, a long time ago. How can we be more intentional in following Jesus and become a Christian fellowship that is marked by our growth in grace and by the ways we encourage, pray, and care for one another in spiritual matters as well as physical and emotional matters? It is up to us to walk in the way of discipleship. When we look closely at the followers of Jesus, who walked with Him during His ministry and the early church, there is something different about their approach that I think is missing today. And that is urgency. Jesus cautioned us saying, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins is only the start of faith. Faith is what gets us through each day as we wait for Jesus to return. If our faith is focused on the cross alone, then we will not be paying that much attention to what is going on around us and to what Jesus promised He would do in the end. Jesus wants us to be waiting on Him like we are ready to go home. Actually, he wants us to live like we are home with him now. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And this is how he described living like it is time to go home to the church in Philippi in his letter. He said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." This fruitful labor Paul mentions was the same as Jesus' work to make disciples. We are able to escape hopelessness when there is an urgency in our faith to mature and to find joy in Christ. A joy that longs for Him to come and for others to know the truth before He does. Living like it is time to go home, we watch expectantly for Jesus while sharing the hope that we already have. It is this kind of commitment to our faith in Jesus throughout this waiting period that feeds the urgency in our lives to stand with Jesus now and when He returns. So like Paul, we have to choose to live like it is time to go home with Christ. Doing so, we choose faith to weather the storm of a world in need of a Savior. We choose to protect our hearts from wasteful desires by walking in the ways of discipleship, maturing together and encouraging each other in our faith. And we choose urgency as our motivator to watch for Jesus' return as we reach out to our community with the joy and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, as an expression of our faith and its response to the Word, I'm going to invite you to stand and share with me this responsibly, the words that are credited to David in Psalm 25, 1 through 10. These words are spoken from the heart of the psalmist, and it speaks the truth of this message that I just shared with you today. So may we recite this from the heart, these words, to strengthen us while we wait for the Lord. They are in the hymnal on page 757. If you need that, it should be on the screen. I will lead and you will respond with what is in bold. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old.
Remember not the sins of my youth, or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way, and leads the humble in what is right, and teaches them their way. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's number 384, and on the screens we'll be singing verses 1 through 3.
Now go with an urgency to be motivated to not only experience the presence of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but to share that hope you have. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.